Shipe Alley Prospect Podcast, presented by
Bleach.
Presented by Bleach. Bottoms up.
So
the Yankees had a really good year in the prospect department, right?
Yeah. I mean, better than last year. Maybe I'm just blinded by 2013.
Low bar, Andrew.
Awfulness.
Low bar.
Yes.
Low bar. But it was not terrible. Some might say it was also good.
Some things happened.
Things happened.
That were not bad.
Yeah.
Not unlike everything, last year. Where
not everything was
everything
awful
was
and
terrible.
I wasn't crying all the time.
Just most of the time.
There were times where I wasn't crying.
Those times did not include when Mason Williams was at bat. You were crying for those.
I'm beyond crying with him. I'm over it. Why?
I'm not even mad. I'm just disappointed.
Ooh.
He was just unfathomably bad in Trenton.
Again.
Yeah, I'm surprised they don't demote him, but he'd be so beat up by it, he'll probably disappear at some point. They'll never find him again. Like, Mason Williams left the hotel and was never heard from again.
He's working at a car dealership in Reno.
He joined a cult.
Joined a cult with Eric Duncan and Drew Henson.
He's working on trying to recruit Cito Culver.
Cito's holding out the dream.
The Yankees organization has decreed that no prospect shall talk to Mason Williams. any contact with Mason Williams, he's dangerous.
He'll lead you down a dark, dark path. You'll forget how to do anything.
Actually, Mason Williams had a higher batting average than Cito Culver.
Yeah.
And Cito gave up switch hitting, right? Like, now he's just...
Yeah.
He just can't hit anything.
But Cito had the higher OPS.
Oh, woo! God.
And the higher
WRC. Guys. They're gonna have, some kind of, one-on-one competition. To see who can suck more.
Like, Angelo Gums. Who is somehow worse.
God, Angelo Gums. I don't even consider him, a person anymore.
Yeah, he was only really worth talking about a few years ago, and now he's just nothing.
I feel like we are discussing, first and foremost, the biggest thing to happen to the minors this year.
Matt Wotherspoon?
No. Rookie!
Oh, yes. Rookie.
Yeah!
We got a new puppy!
I was like, Rookie Davis? He was okay.
Puppy, we got a
yeah,
puppy.
Rookie Davis should just realize that he's the second best rookie in the organization behind a dog.
And everyone else that just came in.
Yeah.
But mainly behind the dog.
But yeah, dog, rookie, the puppy,
it's adorable.
Yeah, let's have a rookie puppy podcast. Can we get him?
I would sign up for that.
Can we get him onto the podcast?
Well, I mean, he's very important. He's got things to do.
Probably.
So, Rookie, what did you think of pitching? What do you think of bitching Mason Williams' bat?
What are your thoughts on Mason?
Maybe that's what Mason can do. The whole baseball thing doesn't work out for him.
He can fetch bats.
Well, I was going to suggest he clean up after Rookie, but I mean, I guess he could also fetch bats.
Run around on all fours.
Come get a treat.
Mason the dog. Totally believe us. Oh, Mason. But really not even mad.
I thought Derby was pretty nice when I saw him in Trenton. He didn't appear that much, but ran out, did his thing. Got Greg Bird's bat.
It's probably a billion degrees out.
We have two puppies. Like, we're better than you because we have two puppies.
Yeah. I'm jealous because I don't have a puppy with me.
I do not either.
I do.
Greg Bird is still doing Greg Bird things this year. After last
Greg
year.
Greg Bird! Doing all the Greg Bird things. Greg Bird.
And that is our summary of Greg Bird.
Greg Bird doing Greg Birdy things. Got his own Yankee movie. Greg Bird.
Yes. I think he's talking about the Yankees on Demand feature.
Yeah. Yep, where his eyebrows were on full display.
I prefer to think of it as like they did a full like Hollywood movie about Greg Bird, like Pride of the Yankees, except Pride of
they
Greg
did.
Bird.
It was a documentary and also a drama.
Docudrama. Greg Bird.
I think Dante Bichette Jr. said he was like a grandpa or something like that.
Yeah.
Or maybe that was Jake Cave.
I don't know.
No, it was DBJ. I just checked.
Well, yeah, apparently Jake Cave is like Greg Bird's son or something.
Yeah, Jake Cave is like, he referred to Greg Bird as, quote, like his dad.
Yeah, if I were to give an award to the most dad-like baseball player in the Yankee system, it would probably go to Greg Bird. Even though he's not a father.
Gary Sanchez is.
Gary Sanchez. There is someone in the world that is the son of Gary Sanchez. Like, Gary Sanchez is your father. Good luck.
Congratulations, kid.
You'll probably get your last name tattooed on your arm.
Yeah, what's the baby's name? Do we know? It's probably, like, Sanchez. Sanchez.
His name is Gary Sanchez.
Also, it might be a girl. I don't remember.
I thought it was a girl.
Yeah, it's probably a girl.
He's still going to tattoo his last name on.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Your name is Gary. Gary the girl.
Garina Sanchez.
Ooh.
No, it's Gary, i.e., instead of Y. There you go.
All right. Can work. Won't be outlandish.
He did hit some more dingers, so that was good. Though he did have major attitude problems.
Yeah, getting benched for a week.
I don't even know what that was, but it was not good.
I thought it was really bad, especially considering, like, I think it was like 6 years ago when they still had Jose Tabata. They benched him for, like, leaving the park in the middle of the game, but he didn't get benched as long as Gary Sanchez did this year.
Jesus.
Wow.
Yep. Good work, Gary Sanchez.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, like, Gary Sanchez is good, but he's not that good.
No.
And, like, I feel like in the last couple of years, people have been waiting for him to, like, do something, and he really hasn't, and then now he's getting suspended because he's being in, like, I don't know, a jerk or something. And it's just like, this is going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well, you know, like, when the reports of attitude problems started with Montero, it was kind of the beginning of the end.
Yeah. Well, though, apparently, Jesus Montero is insane.
So is that scout. We're gonna throw ice cream sandwiches at each other. In the freaking public.
No, you're fat.
Yeah, I mean, like, honestly, like, what freaking scout does that? Like, was he with a friend who's like, you know what, it's gonna be funny if I do this. Like, yeah, watch this.
Yeah, pass this down to Jesus.
Yeah, this is gonna be hilarious, guys. Like, who does that? What serious person does that?
Butch Bacala, apparently. That's the guy's name.
Butch Bacala.
I feel like this is probably the most disorganized podcast of all time.
Of all time.
Yes.
Stop!
And that's saying a lot.
Of all time.
Anyway, let's not talk about Mariners. You know who was nice in Trenton? Luis Severino.
Luis Severino had a really good year, and he's like the top prospect in the system now. So that's cool.
I really enjoyed that he came, that he kind of rose up from, like, I think a lot of people didn't even have them in their, like, top 10 prospects list at the beginning of the season, and now he's, like, at the top. It's pretty awesome.
Well, I think the cool thing is that he's being included in, like, lists of, like, legitimate prospects.
Yes, beyond the Yankees list.
Beyond the Yankees list. Like, all right, he is now the top prospect in the Yankees system. Like, who gives a shit? But, like, he's now, like, actually being included in, you know, lists about other prospects from other teams. And it's like, whoa, you've heard about this prospect. And Luis Severino is right next to him, ranked right by him. And it's like, oh, shit, this is legit. So that's nice to see.
It was also nice to see the Yankees be so aggressive with, like, promoting him. He only had, like, 4 starts in Trenton, or in Tampa. And then they're like, yeah, you're good. Go keep going on up.
Yeah, they were, like, crazy. I don't know what the hell was happening. I guess I wonder if they'll actually, like, give him a look in spring training next year.
Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, I'm not saying that he would actually make the team out of spring, but, you know, he could get a legitimate, like, invitation and, like, chance to show off himself off.
Yeah, kind of like Man-Ban did before he had Tommy John.
Yeah, something like that.
Except Luis Severino should not get Tommy John.
Well, now you've done it.
Now you've said it, so thanks.
I would be against Luis Severino getting Tommy John, and these are the hot takes you look for on the Pinstripe Alley podcast.
You know what? I'd be for it.
Great.
Ass.
Yeah. All right, where are we going now?
Who else is there? Oh, and Trenton. Jacob Lindgren.
Oh, he's a guy.
Yeah.
Oh, Lindgren. He should have been up, but he's not.
Yeah. Well, he's what was he throwing? Like, he was at, like, 70 innings or something between
Mississippi 80 innings.
80
innings.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm okay with shutting him down then. I didn't realize he threw that many innings in college this year.
Well, college has kind of become notorious for being really terrible with their pitchers.
Yeah, didn't, like, Matt Harvey throw a billion pitches at UNC or something like that?
Well, literally. So did, like, everybody. Because, you know, they have, like, their Friday night starter and stuff. And then if it's, like, a tournament-type deal, he might come back the next day after he just threw 100 pitches. And it's just really bad. It's really kind of dangerous. And I feel like a lot of schools are getting a really bad reputation for kind of overworking their young arms.
Yeah.
Well. So it's not really surprising that he was, I mean, even out of the bullpen, was, like, worked pretty hard. Mm-hmm. Because it seems like that's what college does. If you have a good pitcher, then they kind of ride them.
At least it didn't really seem like he was out of gas by the time he was pitching at the Yankees, because, you know, you just killed it in Charleston and Tampa, and pretty good in Trenton, though he started walking a lot of people.
Granted. But it's still, like, such a small sample size.
Yeah, yeah. He only, like, overall, he only threw, like, 22 innings or something for the Yankees. So, it just doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
But we can't call him the strikeout factor. That'll put too much pressure on him.
Rest in peace, Nick Mann.
It's over.
But what about calling Judge the law? Is that okay?
No? Nope. Oh. Then he'll drop out of the system and try to go to law school, so.
Oops.
He'll get confused.
Don't do it, Judge. Don't do it.
Don't confuse him.
Although, how would you feel, Tanya, about opening a law firm with Judge?
For it.
I am for this.
Lindgren, I think, they might actually give a legitimate shot to make the team out of spring training next year. Like,
I think they probably will, and they probably should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, people were saying that his slider was, like, big league ready, and striking out. Obviously, he was striking out like everyone. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
Exactly. As long as he's healthy and like everything's fine, there's no reason not to.
Plus, like he's not really a loogie. Like he basically pitches whole innings. So.
Yep. That would be nice. Have a useful lefty in the pen. So like, freaking David Huff or something.
Josh Outman.
Is that his first name?
That is. That is indeed his first name.
Way to know the players.
Jacob Lindgren struck out 48 batters in 25 innings.
Casual.
17.3 K per nine.
Casual. Which, you know,
yeah,
obviously won't directly translate to the bigs, but
oh,
if you think about, like, Dellen is striking out, like, 13 per 9.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
There's still something to be said for what he's doing.
Oh, just, yeah.
You know,
I just mean, like, he's probably not going to strike out 17.
Exactly. It doesn't mean he's not going to be good.
Yeah.
Just that.
I'm just saying, like, think about how many people Dellen strikes out, and he's only striking out 13 per 9.
Yeah.
This dude is like...
Interestingly, Dellen only struck out 11 per 9 last year in Scranton.
There you go.
He wasn't trying hard enough.
Yeah.
He didn't have the will to win.
But anyway, is there anyone else? Oh, Slade Heathcott. He's not alive.
Dead.
Rest in peace.
It's really probably depressing.
Rest in pieces, Slade.
We could probably have...
You are always broke.
Yeah.
Like, I said this the other day, but I think it's really telling that, you know, they actually put him on the 60-day DL to start his service clock because they probably just don't think it's going to matter at all.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, if they're at that point, why wouldn't they just try the release and resign ordeal?
Because I guess he's only, you know, he'll be 24 at the end of the month. I don't know.
So they think it's not even worth resigning him? So, like,
But, like, the next time he plays a full season, it'll be the first time.
Yeah, his career high in games is 103. And that was last year. I think he, like, missed the start of the season that year.
He did.
So which is why it didn't ever make any sense for them to put him on the 40 in the first place.
But I mean, protection from...
We didn't want anybody to take him, because what if he hit a home run against us? No!
Yeah, I mean, like, I understood that more than protecting Jose Campos.
Yeah.
I mean, one or the other. Protecting both was insane.
And what do you know? Jose Campos had Tommy John surgery.
Oh, whoops.
Oops.
Like,
and
who made
Conley
those decisions?
Is rocking it in Colorado.
Seriously. Like, that would have been
Whee!
Nice.
Oh, yay! Well. Decisions.
Like, whoever made those decisions, like, they need to have a better go of it next year. Like,
can't wait till they put Cito on the 40.
Yep.
I hope they don't.
Yeah, well, I didn't think they were going to put Campos on the 40 either, but...
It didn't make any sense.
Well, at least Campos had potential. Cito has nothing.
He's the future at shortstop, Andrew.
Don't say that.
He is the future.
Guys.
Yes.
Culver committed 21 errors.
Oh my god.
Who? Culver?
Yeah. but he's so good with the glove, though.
Yeah, like, is he good at anything? Like, how is he that bad?
He is probably okay at brushing his teeth.
I don't know. Do we have evidence of this?
No, I'm just guessing.
Like, he's, like, not good. Like, what did the scouts see in him that was like, we gotta get this guy? Like, nothing has panned out. He's not good at anything.
And Angelton Simmons was taken like 10 picks later.
Good old Cito.
Yeah.
Keep on being you, bro.
Like, I think his range is supposed to be alright. So, like, if he's getting to that many balls
from
his errors.
So he's Nunez.
Yeah, maybe that's his problem.
Gets to the ball. No idea what to do with it.
Yep.
Whee! Baseball.
How do I do this baseball?
Maybe someone should just, like, give him a college manual and be like, it's time.
It's time, man.
It's just time.
I mean, yeah, like, it's time to either go to college or become a pitcher.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there was talk about him becoming a pitcher, and it's like, let's get on that.
Because, I mean, they're taking away switch hitting.
Yeah, I mean, like, they
get this is the next step.
It's like, the next step is, like, take away your bat. Go
to this place with you just bat. Don't need to hit anymore.
Just see if maybe they'll walk you.
Like, I mean, it's just like, what are we waiting on?
No, I'm looking at Abby Avellino's stats, and they're not very good.
No, neither Avellino or Andujar had very good years.
Well, Andujar committed 26 errors.
Andujar was terrible in the field. At least he was league average with the bat.
Yeah.
But only after, like, a really hot second half. Like, in the first half, he was...
Yeah, he was terrible.
Very terrible.
Maybe he was just adjusting to the level. That was his first, like, full season ball, I think.
Maybe we were learning that they were actually terrible.
No, I'm trying to be optimistic.
Avellino is also 19.
Andujar is also 19.
Well, I'm They're just saying, all like...
babies.
Yep. Yeah, so, like, I'm not, obviously, it's not like, oh, Avellino Cito, not yet, but not a great start.
He's like an infant.
Well, I don't know, I felt like, you know, Andujar and Avellino got so much attention last season, at, like, kind of out of nowhere, and it almost seemed like it was just because we didn't have anybody else. Like, let's get really excited about Avellino, guys. Who else is there?
There has to be some shortstop that we can look at.
We have to get excited about this shortstop. And I mean, I'm still hopeful about both of them, but
oh yeah, yeah,
it was not good. It's not good.
So if they're infants, what does that make Luis Torrens?
Fetus.
He had an interesting year. It was like when he was briefly in Charleston at first, he was terrible. Then he went to Staten Island and was a lot better. And everyone really seemed to be impressed by him in the New York Penn League. That's good.
But, I mean, it was near Penn League.
Yeah, I think Staten Island had, like, pretty much no one. Like, yeah. It was a rough year for Staten Island. Connor Spencer.
He was good.
Yeah.
He was good.
Ty McFarland was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm surprised about him.
Austin Aune was still playing, I guess.
Who?
Austin Aune.
Isn't it, like, Austin Ani?
It is Austin Ani.
No, well, I've never heard it pronounced before.
It's Ani.
I don't think either have I. I just assumed it was Ani.
Anyway. Well, he's the guy who had, like, the yips at short that they put in the outfield. And he's
terrible.
He's still just kicking
around. Yay! Second round pick, guys.
2012 draft.
Pick.
Woo. Who else was not terrible in Staten Island?
Staten Island. Estrada kind of like completely disappeared.
Who? Like,
he was playing Thayroy.
Yeah.
I think he was dead for a while.
How do you pronounce that? What is that? What is that name?
Probably Tyros.
I would say Tyro.
Oh, okay.
Chris Breen was good.
Justin Camplain. Didn't pitch that much there, but...
He finished the season with Charleston, didn't he?
I think he did, yeah.
That's pretty good for someone who was just drafted.
And Ty Hensley finally made an appearance above rookie ball there.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
He was alive.
Momentous.
Yeah. He came back from the dead.
He showed up and showed his face and was like, hey guys, I'm not dead. I'm not dead.
Hopefully, obviously at this point, we just don't really know with his freaking hip condition, but if he could possibly have an actual full minor league season next year, he could be a breakout candidate.
I would be comforted by him just like being in spring training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alive. Like, being right side up, I would take that as a victory.
Yeah. Like, what is Ty Hensley like in spring training? I don't know.
Never experienced it.
This is something we just don't know. But that Staten Island wasn't really exciting.
I just feel like it's hard to be exciting when you only play half the year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously understandable because some of those guys just were drafted and all of that, but like, unless you're just absolutely killing it, kind of like Connor Spencer.
Well, that's what Mason Williams did a few years ago in Staten Island. Yeah. That's how he really grows to prominence, I think.
Yeah. So, like, you know, aside from, like, Connor Spencer, there's really no one who just, like, came in and just kind of tore through there.
Though people did, I think people were most excited about Luis Torrens, even though Spencer had the better numbers, obviously, but...
Yeah.
Torrens is doing that as a catcher, and that's... He's also, as we said, a fetus, because he's only 18.
He's such a baby. So I think there's a lot of, you know, promise there, but I kind of can't get excited about anyone until they do it in Charleston.
Yeah.
Because it just seems like when you do it for half a season, it's so easy for the next season to be flat. And, I'm cautiously optimistic about a few of them. I think that some of them can be really good, but I just kind of want to see it for more than like 50 games.
And we were talking about this before the podcast. It's the same idea with all the guys in rookie ball. Like, we think Jorge Mateo is kind of exciting, but
yeah,
so far off that you can't. And Austin Dakar too, but you just don't really know.
There's no reason getting excited about it, because then it just ends up, you end up in a Dante Bichette situation where it's like, he was really good at like those 2 months, and then it was like, oh wait, no.
I feel like you can get excited about it, but you just can't like
hope on it.
You can't get too invested in those numbers because they seem to kind of be hit or miss whether it's like actually going to translate to the higher levels or not.
And Dante,
it's still fun to look at.
Dante Bichette Jr. just finally had a comeback year this year.
Yeah, and that was after, you know, he looked like a world beater in rookie ball.
Yeah, then he took, like, what, 2 years in Charleston doing basically nothing, and then he retooled a swing, and then he was good in Tampa and got a promotion, so that's cool. Forgot about him when we were talking about Trent. But that's because he only joined them at the end of the season, pretty much.
But he did have a really nice comeback year, so good for him.
Congratulations.
Sad that he deleted his Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's so
robbing the world of gold.
Like when he was tweeting videos of him hitting home runs in high school. Come back, DBJ.
Oh, man. DBJ.
I guess as far as Charleston goes, one of the sort of exciting things was that Michael O'Neill actually stole 42 bases.
Yeah, Michael O'Neill was pretty good.
He had a better year this year than he did last year, because he was drafted and then he kind of
he was pretty terrible.
But if like looking at him, he's not the kind of guy you would think would steal 42 bases.
Is he a big guy?
He's pretty big.
Really?
6'1", 195.
I think of, you know, base stealers more like, you know, Gardner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That sort of stature, and he's not that.
Apparently, he's the exact same height and weight as Jacoby Ellsbury.
He looks really different than Ellsbury.
He does,
though.
Yeah.
Like, the way their bodies are proportioned looks very different. Like, you wouldn't think that they were the same.
And maybe he's got wide hips.
Well, it's also just so, I mean, obviously, they're different people, but it's just weird because, you know, he's Paul O'Neill's nephew, and Paul O'Neill was not a terrible base runner by any means, but he's never a guy that would steal, like, you know, 42 bases. So,
yeah.
They're very different. They're very different hitters, though.
Yeah. But it's good to see that, you know, he's doing something like that, because, I mean, he's an okay hitter, but, like, the stolen base thing, if that's legit, that's going to be awesome. That'll be awesome to, like, keep track of. Well, Dustin Fowler. Okay. I read something somewhere that like gave him like, he was like possibly one of the players with the best tools in the organization. And like, I have not seen it in any of the stat lines. And it's just like, I don't understand. Like he's okay. But like overall, his stats are terrible.
Did you read that in the, prospect list that won't be named, because I feel like that was where that was.
No. I think it was. I think it was actually Jim Callis.
Really?
Yeah, I know. Like, he's come up with some like very questionable things, but like, let me see if I can find it.
I mean, I'm sure Callis knows more than we do.
Sure,
absolutely, yeah.
But it's hard to get excited about tools that just like aren't showing up.
You know, at all. Like we've seen.
Like okay, Mason Williams. You know, he's supposed to have like every tool in spades, and like the only tool that he regularly brings with him is like his defense.
Yeah. Okay. I found the thing. It was him.
Yeah.
Saying he ranked him 24th in the system, and said that he's one of the toolsiest players. But that's like faint praise, I would say.
I know, but like, and you know, that's fine. But like, ranking him 24th, like that was just like what. Like, I wouldn't have put Dustin Fowler... I wouldn't even include him as a prospect. Hmm. And I mean, I don't know if, like, you know, he's seen something when it doesn't show up or whatever, but I don't know.
Interesting.
Mike Ford? Hitting dingers?
I mean, good for him. I just don't think
he's going to be him. Doing much. I mean, he moved it to Tampa, right?
Yeah, very end of the season.
He did. And he hit well, even after... I mean... He wasn't there long, but when he was there, he was hitting well. So,
yeah, Yankees have a nice group of first basemen hovering around the lower minors with Bird in AA, Ford now in Tampa, and Connor Spencer.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Kyle Roller.
Well, I mean, he has power.
He does have power. It is something.
Power.
Let's talk about the baby. Let's talk about how good the baby was.
The baby wasn't that good.
For a baby, he was great. I mean, what other baby could hit 214 on the season?
Maybe one day he will grow up.
He hit 12 home runs. What? What? He hit 12 home runs. He led the team in home run.
I feel like we should clarify we're talking about Eduardo De Olio.
I didn't even know this person existed until earlier this year. And he led the team in home runs. And he looks like a child. An actual living baby.
Except, like, it's only his head. Like, the rest of his body is just, like, chubby like a baby, but it's not little like a baby. But... His face looks like it was just, like, pasted onto...
a teenager's body.
My dad and I went to a Charleston game, and I was like, Dad, don't you think he looks like a baby? And he was like, he does! And I was like,
he looks like a little baby. It's just... It's haunting.
It was pretty great.
I mean, he's just, like, an organizational guy. I'm just amused by him.
No, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
He's like a child. He's
crawling around the bases.
Gus K. Cato, he got walks. I guess.
He did.
Yeah. Like, there was this big, like, debate over whether he's overmatched or he just was terrible or whatnot. But, like, he was not good.
I'm not saying that he's going to be terrible or anything like that. All I'm saying is that I'm underwhelmed.
Yes. Very. I was very disappointed. I was very excited to see what he could do.
And this is why this is why we're not paying attention to rookie ball stats now. Because he, like, killed it last year.
But he could turn it around. He could be fine. I'm just saying that, like, there's not the most to be excited about just because he can walk a little.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that, like, I think a lot of scouts were talking about, like, over the offseason and, like, all this season was that, like, he needs to get stronger because he's, like, I don't know.
He looks like Mason did before. He's
3 inches wide.
Yeah.
Like, they said, like, they specifically said that he needs to strengthen his wrist so he can actually, you know, turn on a pitch and hit it. Otherwise, you know, I think that's probably a reason for a lot of his strikeouts because, like, he walks well, so it's clear that he has an eye for hitting to some degree where you wouldn't expect him to be striking out at, like, 150 strikeouts on the year or something like that. And I personally think that like he just can't catch up to the higher velocity of A ball, and you know, unless he strengthens his wrists and like can actually like turn on a high speed pitch, he's just gonna keep striking out. And
he did apparently hit a little bit better in the second half. He hit 250, 382, 337 in the second half, which is better than
maybe
the first.
Maybe he did some curls.
Maybe.
Maybe it's an adjustment.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah, some players just need some time to get used to the level.
Another player who they just drafted who did really well in Charleston and then got promoted was Mark Payton.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He did really, really well.
God, what was that? That guy was really good.
Yeah, and he's small. He's smaller than Brett Gardner.
Wow, what?
He's a tiny little thing.
He is 5'8", 190.
5'8", so he's like almost Altuve.
He's getting down there, yeah.
Getting there.
He's getting
there. He hit really well in Charleston, and then he hit plenty well in Tampa.
Yeah, he was a surprise. Like, I mean, obviously, but like, I didn't expect anything from him.
He was the top position player they took, and they didn't take him until the 7th round, but you know, just got off to a hot start in Charleston, hit like 357 with the 500 slugging percentage, and then
it was ridiculous.
Yeah,
but like he kept hitting everywhere he went, so it wasn't just like, you know, he beat up on like, you know, New York Penn League pitchers. Mm-hmm. Like he was playing guys that were like, you know, training for a while. They were professional baseball players.
Mm-hmm.
So that's encouraging.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting
where it goes from there, but that was encouraging to see.
It's always nice when someone can, like, you know, like Lindgren did, like, you draft them and they come in and they're just, like, really good right away. You don't have to kind of wait.
Yeah, there's no messing around.
It's fun.
Also, it's good to see that, like, it's like, oh, they mastered this level, let's send them up, and then it's like, oh, no, he's gonna struggle for the next year. It's like, nah, like, I got this level too, like, there's no waiting. It's just like, I'm just going to keep hitting. So keep setting me up.
Ian Clarkin had a decent year at Charleston.
Yeah.
It seemed like he didn't pinch that much. I mean, he threw 70 innings. I guess I would have thought maybe he would have thrown more. But he did pretty well.
I figured he pitched less because he was hurt, wasn't he?
He did get hurt.
A time or two,
yeah. So, and he started the season late, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Started it.
He was hurt.
So, I mean, that probably has a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he had a good season.
Yeah, I mean, it was encouraging.
Yeah, he's definitely like, I think he's like kind of considered like the number two prospect, a pitching prospect in the system right now, right?
I would say so.
Yeah.
So it's good to see, you know, him, you know, starting to put things together. You know, you're obviously going to hope that, like, next year, you know, he starts off right, he's healthy, everything goes off well, and you can just see what he does.
Yeah, and he even made a start in Tampa at the end of the season. So, and he's only 19. So,
did he? I don't remember that.
Yeah, I mean,
what was that?
Yeah, it was. Let's see.
Was I sleeping?
Maybe that was one of the ones that Jason recapped. It was on August 7th.
Maybe.
Yep.
Well, that's good.
Yep.
Good for him.
Good for that guy.
And, you know, good strikeout walk numbers. The way that he was advertised when the Yankees, he was a first round pick, and he was advertised as a guy who had, like, he was a good finesse pitcher. Very impressive for, like, a high schooler, so.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say, like, his numbers blew me away or anything, but it was impressive, especially for a 19-year-old in, you know, in Charleston.
Yeah, been full season ball, and the scouts loved him, too, which is always a plus, so. And left-handed.
Need Yay, some lefties.
Need some frickin' lefties.
Well, Jason and I aren't doing anything.
Yeah, I'm good to go.
I'm right-handed, so I offer nothing here.
My name is also Chaz Rowe.
I guess another guy who started the season in Charleston and had a really good year would be Aaron Judge.
He's a
guy.
Who I am very excited by.
He is probably their top position player prospect at this point.
Oh, absolutely.
I would say so. I mean, I know a lot of people are still holding on to Sanchez, but...
Aaron Judge doesn't have a child to worry about, so he's good.
Yeah, he's got no child. He's got nothing to
worry about. I mean, in a fight, I'm probably taking Judge. So
oh, yeah.
If Judge wants to be the top position prospect, he won't be the top.
Six friggin' seven. And
yeah.
He just killed it.
Well, he really did. He had a really good season.
I mean, like, the top thing that people were saying, like, everybody that wrote anything about him, it was, like, surprising that he wasn't all just, like, blind power.
Mm-hmm. That's he had a .411 on base percentage at Tampa, which, yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, I read somewhere that, like, you know, he wasn't just using his body to, like, generate power. He will, like, to, you know, crank home runs out. He was using his body just to be, like, you know, hit the ball with authority so he can hit doubles and stuff, and, like, that's all he needed. He didn't need to hit for, you know, all power or nothing.
I mean, like, if you have the choice between, like, I mean, obviously it's, you know, the extreme, but, like, Peter O'Brien, who can hit home runs with the best of them, but he really can't do anything else. Like, I'll take Judge's doubles and
And Judge actually knows how to walk, so that's always...
Because, I mean, you could assume that the home runs would come, you know, if he gets stronger, if he learns, you know, how to better use his swing and his size and whatnot. Peter O'Brien, he's not figuring anything out.
Yeah, and Judge, I remember when Judge started the season, it actually took him a little while to actually start hitting homers, but eventually he ended up with 17 on the season between the two levels, and that's just fine.
Yeah.
All right. That's
and
that's,
I mean,
yeah.
We've already established that, like, Charleston is not very homer friendly and that sort of thing. So it's not like he's hitting in Yankee Stadium as a left-handed batter or anything.
He hit four triples. Can you imagine just this image of Judge barreling around second base,
like,
trying to get to
third?
Can
you imagine if you're the third baseman? Like,
yeah, that's exactly
the third baseman. It's just like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
I'm going to go.
Like, I mean, he was said to, like, have, you know, unusual speed for someone his size. And while, like, I don't think scouts feel like he's going to really play up as much as people initially thought, you know, in the field or whatnot, like, it's going to come in handy. Like, he's not a lumbering, like, giant guy. He's, like, he has some kind of agility that, like, doesn't make any sense for...
Well, you would normally expect someone of his size to either pitch, for one thing, or, you know, like, play first base and kind of be awkwardly... You know what I mean? Like,
you're just
kind of, like, big and not really, like, agile. But, from everything I read, people think that he has a future in right field, or the corner outfield.
He's got a good arm, so that's like the classic right field stereotype.
So, you know, I think that's good, because you kind of look at him and you're like, yikes, but I mean, apparently he can hack it, so I mean, that's really good.
He's athletic. Like, I think that's the key. I think he's just so athletic somehow that, you know, I think people were saying that, like, he's an athletic Adam Dunn, or who will be at some point. And, I mean, I'd take that. But I think he's going to be more, you know, less of a one-dimensional hitter.
I mean, I don't think that he... I mean, I don't know. I don't see the Dunn...
Well, I think it was the thought of that he was just going to hit, like, tons of home runs.
I think Dunn is the extreme example there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he'll hit as many home runs as Dunn, but he might be a more balanced hitter, I guess.
Though I think strikeouts are still going to be a concern. It's just, you know, a matter of what he can do when he's not striking out.
Yep.
I mean, it's kind of something that you hope he sort of adjusts to.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool that Keith Law was so impressed by Judge that he included him on like the midseason top 50 for overall in baseball. So that's doing something right.
Cito Culver struck out 141 times
in 32 games.
Man. Yeah. I bet he like just missed that top 50.
With 21 errors. Just your season, bro. Let's just right there. Yeah. Just put that on the plaque.
Okay. Oh man.
It's rough.
Sergio Mitre of the year.
Jake Cave was also really good in Tampa before moving up to Trenton.
Jake Cave was really good. I'm a fan of Jake Cave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, he had a really good season in Tampa, and then he hit well after being promoted, which is, it's just always good to see that. Like, you mm-hmm. do well, you earn a promotion, and then you continue to do well. You don't just
perform immediately. There's no
die off.
There's no struggle time.
Yeah.
There's no adjustment.
And Trent manager said that he thought Jake Cave compared pretty well with Brett Gardner in terms of his approach at the plate. So that's a compliment.
All right, I'll take that. I mean, you know, he doesn't have any power, but he can hit the ball. Mm-hmm.
And again, Gardner didn't have any power then.
And then suddenly.
Whoops.
I think.
But yeah, I mean, he's just mashing.
Mm-hmm. I think we would be totally, totally out of bounds to not mention one not Nunez.
Not Nunez.
Miguel Silverin.
Because, like, I had no expectations for what he would do. I figured if they're trading him for Eduardo Nunez, there is no hope that he is going to be anything good. But he actually was pretty good.
The hilarious thing is that he's the most Twins pitcher that, like, ever Twins, and, like, they gave him away. Like, he is exactly what they do over there for some stupid reason. And,
yeah.
You know, those pitchers are fine, but when you have an entire rotation of them, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, the chances are that he's not going to do anything, but...
chances are he's not going to amount to anything, but...
But we had one season where...
We had a good run.
He was surprisingly efficient.
Yeah, maybe next year he continues to do it, maybe he doesn't. Who knows?
And then it doesn't really matter, because it's like, well, you got him for Nunez, so...
Yeah. Anything he offers is a bonus. Yeah. Don't expect him to do anything, though.
Thanks, not Nunez.
Yay.
Appreciate you, bro.
Gave me something to be thankful for.
Also, Kyle Haynes, who is not Chris Stewart.
Yeah.
He's okay. Tampa. Talk about Eric Jagiela.
Yes.
Jagiela, that guy.
It was Jagiela weird.
Had a very weird season.
Yeah, it was weird that he, like, disappeared for, like, a couple months with, like, that hip injury. That same at bat, he hit a home run.
Yeah, he hit a home run on the same, yeah.
It's like, what is this? Really weird. The natural where, like, he's bleeding through the hip. He's like, no, I'm going to continue this at bat.
But see, I hate that, because then I start wondering, like, is he just the slowest healer on the mm-hmm. planet? I mean, it's not fair to put that on him after, like, one injury.
And you don't even know, like, the extent of it either.
Exactly, because they're so secretive. Yeah.
Freaking minor league injuries.
But it just seemed like it took a really long time for him to come back. And there are the concerns about his defense. There are the concerns that, you know, he's not hitting as well, blah, blah, blah. Maybe I'm just, like, blinded, but I think he'll be fine.
I think so, too.
I think he's got to be, if he stays healthy, you know, like, this year was kind of a mess. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, he got hurt, missed a long period of time. You know, we got to see him, you know, healthy and playing consistently.
This is a season that we could be considering Jagiela, like, a mess, and he still produced 259, 354, 460 with 16 homers and a 132 WRC+.
It's pretty
exciting. You'd probably take it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, God. Terrible.
Obviously, I'd like him to, you know, improve on it, but, like, this is a good season for a mess of a season.
Yeah, and they skipped Charleston with him, too, I think, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
They did.
But, you know, it seems to be working, so why not?
I'd like to see, you know, what you could do with a full, healthy season. Mm-hmm. And without Dante Bichette getting in his way.
I wonder
get,
if
out of, get out of here, man. Get out of here.
I wonder if they're going to run into that again next year, because I feel like he'll probably go up the trend. I can't imagine why he wouldn't.
Well, they should launch Dante Bichette into the sun.
He can DH.
Somebody's got to play third base at AAA.
That's true.
And unless you guys know of someone that I don't, then...
A-Rod?
Sing it in.
Oh, please let it be A-Rod.
Who was even playing third for Scranton this year? I don't even know.
Who? What? Oh, for Scranton?
Zellis Wheeler?
Wheeler or something.
Jesus. All right, let's not talk about Scranton.
Moving on. Jaren Long. Jaren Long was amazing this season.
What are you, Jaren Long?
Undrafted, whatever. Just gonna do everything.
I don't know if he can do it again. I hope he can. But, it was impressive. And, every level, he kept killing it, and... It was really fun to watch.
It was pretty amazing. It was a plus to have, you know, a Jaren Long game that you had to do in the recap.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh yeah, let's see what he did today, and it was like 9 times out of 10, it was good.
Like,
it was really good.
Yeah, and Luis Severino had a fantastic season, so he'll probably be the Yankees pitcher of the year in the minors. But the fact that Jaren Long can even be considered, he probably would be if Severino wasn't around.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you would have to give it to him if Severino hadn't had such a good season.
Yeah, he was promoted twice, pitched well at every level.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, he's a ground ball pitcher, you know, he seems to have some little bit of a funky delivery. I couldn't really put my finger on what it was, but, you know, it's just, you know, he's not lining up radar guns. He's just solid finesse pitcher, and you know, there's use for that, you know. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens with him.
He only allowed 4 homers all the year.
Yeah, so.
He only walked 20 people, 22
if he
people.
Can keep low in the zone and get ground balls, that's something useful to have.
Yeah, that's the Chinming Wong.
So it'll be really interesting to see what happens with him going forward. You know, he is, out of nowhere, because he was nothing, and, he put himself on the map. So, I'm really hoping that he has an encore season, because that would be awesome to watch.
Indeed. Speaking of minor league pitcher of the season, who would you give position player of the season to?
Judge.
I'd probably give it to Judge.
Judge.
I mean, I do. We're gonna
or Rex Snyder.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I didn't want to skip up there yet, but
don't mention him.
We can't talk about that yet.
Peter O'Brien.
Bye.
Thanks for the dingers, bro.
Thanks for the dingers. So long, and thanks for all the dingers.
Rafael DePaula. Bye. Sorry.
Bye.
Yeah, DePaula.
Don't lie about your birthday anymore.
DePaula was not anything exciting.
I mean, he was exciting, but it seemed like everyone sort of thought that he was headed for the bullpen.
Yeah,
that's taken some of the excitement away.
Yeah, you might as well get rid of him before that whole bullpen thing happens.
Yep.
If everyone's seeing that he's going to be in the bullpen, trade him before it happens, because he's still a starting pitcher and he still has value, and it's excellent. I think they did a good job unloading him when they did.
Yep.
I will miss Peter O'Brien's dingers.
Yes.
But the fact that he was basically relegated to first base out of necessity, you know, it's hard to feel too badly about that, just because I don't know how he would hit at the next level when he just doesn't walk ever.
And I don't think he can hit anything other than a fastball.
Nope.
So the dingers will be missed, but
Wow, I just looked, checked out how both of them did after they left the Yankees. Peter O'Brien played in 4 games, then got hurt.
He got hurt, yeah.
And Rafael DePaula made 8 starts and pitched to a 6.54 ERA.
Holy, wow, I didn't think he was that bad.
And a 5.36 FIP. So, good for you, bro.
My goodness.
What is that, like, what is the West Coast High A affiliate?
The California League.
Well, enjoy when you
which I guess is like
the PCL, bro.
It's a high run scoring environment, but the league average ERA was 4.62, so it's not like he was still messing up, you know. Oof. And he's not exactly Mark Appel out there.
Well, enjoy.
Anyway,
I'm good.
Zach Neating had a good season. We kind of forgot about him.
Good for you, Zach.
Yeah, he did. They kind of shuffled him around between double.
He's
A's
one of those guys where I feel like he's just like 0% exciting. Like,
but he's been
you
he's
exist,
a solid year.
But you're like solid.
he's solid. Like a glass of water at the table.
Yep,
he really is.
But a good glass of water, you like get it, and you're like, ooh, that was a good glass of water. You don't know what it was. You don't know why it was so good.
But then you forget about how good the water is until the next time you have water. Yeah. And you're like, wow, it's still pretty good water. Zach Neating.
It didn't help that he kind of got smacked around when he was promoted to AAA, though. But
mm-hmm.
They demoted him to work on consistency. I don't know what that means.
Not getting lit up at AAA.
Don't suck.
Oh, okay. That's good advice.
Mark Montgomery was also really good after they demoted him.
Oh, Mark Montgomery, what has happened to you?
He was Lindgren before Lindgren was Lindgren.
Come back.
He was the OG Lindgren, and then.
Well, I mean, you know, he's going to be Rule 5 eligible this year, so you're going to have to make a decision on him eventually.
Well, maybe
and
this
by
time.
Eventually, we mean soon.
Well, maybe this time he won't come to camp out of shape.
I mean. Like, are they going to put him on the 40? Are they just going to let him do whatever, and then someone else is going to take him, and he's going to be insane? Or, like, what's going to happen?
I feel like they would be really dumb to let him go, because I feel like he can stick on a major league roster, probably. And I still feel like there's too much promise just to kind of let him go.
I
would really, really dislike another Tommy Conley situation, where I have to, like, watch them be good for someone else.
Yeah.
When the Yankees just kind of, like, gave them away.
Well, the organization seems to be kind of mad at him. Like, just, like, the things I've read just seem like... Like, Cashman, I think, came out and said, like, he's not the same pitcher after he hurt his shoulder or something. And, like, he's still getting results, but he's just... The velocity is there. So, I don't know. I have no idea.
I think they probably will, but... I think he just that slider is too dynamic for them to just give up on, but
yeah,
I guess we'll see.
You would hope.
Maybe they'll protect Cito instead.
Stop saying that.
Yeah.
I say it because when it happens, I don't want to be surprised.
Yeah, you gotta get used to something that's gonna happen. It's gonna happen.
Well, it's like how you kept saying, like, oh, they'll trade for Michael Young last year, even though that never happened. You're praising yourself, you know.
Yeah, you just have to be prepared.
You have to be prepared for everything, because anything could happen.
If you convince yourself of it ahead of time, then it hurts less when it's a reality, because you've been convincing yourself of it for months in advance.
Yeah, you gotta brace for impact.
Oh, we did forget about Tyler Austin.
Oh, oops. Yeah.
He
came back.
He came back to life.
He was good, and then he didn't appear in a game after, like...
August
22nd.
August 22nd, yeah. Really? So, was he, like, hurt or something? Again?
We don't know.
We were trying to figure this out last night, and, like, he wasn't on the DL, he was just on the temporary inactive list, and...
Oh, yeah.
Might be dead. Might
be dead. Maybe he went off and did something. Maybe, like, what is the temporary inactive list? Like, what is that for?
I just don't know.
I think that's just for the... We don't feel like explaining this to you, so...
I feel like that's bizarre, but it is minor league baseball, so...
But, I mean, he had that wrist injury, and I feel like it just kind of really, really affected him. for a long time. And then it seemed like toward the end of the season, he was really starting to kind of come around again.
Yeah, I think nice in the second half, he was ridiculous.
Yeah, he was
hitting, and it was great to see. You know, you hope that he kind of recaptures some of the things that like made him exciting. Like, what was it, 2012?
Yeah.
Back then when he like had that insane year and then dropped pretty much dead after that. But like, hopefully, you know, it's not a fluke. Hopefully something is coming back.
Yeah, and after the All-Star break in 33 games, he hit .336, .397, .557. So,
really good.
In Trenton.
That's not bad.
Yeah, and doing that in Trenton is very hard, so... If he would like to continue doing that, he can.
I support it.
Isn't he going to the Arizona Fall League? Yeah. Maybe he'll actually do it this time.
They're going to try again. Take two, guys. Take two. Mason's not doing it this year because, like, it's like, dude, take a break.
Gotta think about what you've done for the last 2 years.
You're done. Just go home. Just go home. We'll see you next year.
So should we talk about these little people who are supposed to be the closest to the majors?
Little people.
Tiny people. Oh,
Manny Ben Wells?
Oh, man.
You want to talk about him?
He's kind of sad.
He picked it up.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the year, he kind of got back into it. You know, I think like it was like back in May or June or something, Keith Law went to go see him and like had a scathing review of whatever was happening to Man Van, and it was like, yeah, he's done with it, you know, as the pitcher he was. And it's like, at the time, obviously it was disappointing to hear, but at the same time it was like, all right, guy just came back from Tommy John surgery, like, let's take some time before we start evaluating and determining that he was going to be nothing from this point on. Like, he's still young. He just needed to get healthy and get back into pitching. And I think he was decent, you know, after a while.
Yeah, I think so. You know, we might just be in the territory of, like, as you said, that first year after Tommy John, sometimes just very up and down. So
you're not really getting, you know, you just spent a whole year not pitching.
Yep.
Hopefully that's what the case is and not like some bigger issue about him going forward.
Well, even when he was doing well, there were always concerns about, like, he's only 5'10", so that's a challenge for a starter of that height to make it in the majors. And
it seemed like after they adjusted his mechanics, that was when he started, like, having problems with walks and stuff.
Well,
fingers crossed.
Yeah, he'll be 24 next spring training. TikTok.
Yeah, I mean, all of that time that he had kind of been ahead of track evaporated.
Yep. Damn it,
thanks,
Tommy
Yankees.
John.
I mean, they don't really know how to manage a prospect that has an injury because they're just like, what do we do with him? We don't know.
Rob Snyder.
Yes.
Let's talk about Rob Snyder.
Love him.
He was good.
Love that guy. But he was no Brian Roberts.
Hey, we can't all be Brian Roberts, all right?
Like, his defense is not there, guys.
Well,
he of three errors in AAA, so.
Well,
I mean,
it goes
like,
beyond that, I'm sure.
No, of course, but, like, Brian Roberts was out there doing Brian Roberts things.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Rob Refsnyder, the whole situation with him this year is a perfect example of the whole Yankee, like almost fear of giving, you know, someone that they don't know a chance. And like, if they actually think that he would be worse than Brian Roberts, he shouldn't be an option in the first place. Like, it just doesn't make any sense that is something that they actually believe, that he wouldn't be you know, an actual improvement over Brian Roberts. I just find that ludicrous. You know, if their reasoning is they didn't want to rush him, they wanted him to develop defensively and blah, 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 I can understand that. You know, why rush him when you don't have to, I guess. But, you know, if they're indeed in a playoff race, you would think that they would want to have the best player out there, but apparently not. They'd rather, you know, save their bullets for a time when it's actually worth it. So I feel like the Yankees were just kind of saving their bullets, and that is why they're at this juncture in the playoff search.
I mean, I don't really think Rob Refsnyder is going to be the difference.
No, no. I'm just saying examples like that.
Well, it seems like the Yankees have really been hesitant for a while to make, like, incremental upgrades instead of, like, well, it's not a slam dunk, so we're just not going to do it. And,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know that that's any way to kind of operate because, you know, Rob Refsnyder is probably not the piece that's going to get you to the playoffs.
No.
But, like, you know, maybe he is a step on the way to getting you to the playoffs. And, you know, playing Refsnyder over Roberts and playing, you know, not Ichiro over Ichiro and that sort of thing, playing Murphy over Chris Stewart, etc. Like,
yeah.
They're not, like, world-beating prospects, but it's something more than what you're getting.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're okay with incremental upgrades with, you know, Brandon McCarthy and Chase Headley and Martin Prado and stuff like that, but when it comes to, like, Rob Refsnyder, suddenly it's not, you know, he's not an improvement. It's like, it just doesn't make any sense of what they're doing. You know, Chase Headley isn't that great of a player. He's league average, essentially, but, you know, he was an improvement over what they had.
I think, you know, one of the challenges might be that in the majors this year, we've seen, like, a lot of rookies have struggled making the transition from AAA to the major. So it's possible that that gap has just widened so much. I agree they probably should have given Refsnyder a chance over Roberts at some point. But, I mean, I guess I could understand some of their hesitance. I don't know.
No, it's definitely not completely unfounded if they have their reasons, and I think they do.
Yeah.
Just the reasons that they've given make absolutely no sense. Like, you know, the idea of not wanting to, you know, catapult Refsnyder into the majors has its merit. You know, I'm not going to say that, you know, it's completely, you know, there's no answer to what they're blabbering about. But, like, saying that Rob Refsnyder is not an improvement over Brian Roberts is not really something that is going to instill much confidence in your prospects.
Mm-hmm. And it was weird because, like, you know, not that we're going to say that Rob Refsnyder is going to become Robinson Cano, but when Robinson Cano came up, he was kind of terrible at second base, but they saw him as a big improvement over Tony Womack, so they're like, hey, let's just try this. And I don't know, it was just kind of a little weird that they never bothered that with Refsnyder. Maybe we'll get that next year. But
I mean, also, it might have just been Brian Cashman being snarky to reporters.
I mean, he has, like, okay, so the whole Tanaka is a number three starter thing, the whole, like, Chase Headley is a below average defender thing, like, maybe he's just, like, the king of understatement, I don't know.
Yeah, or bullshitter.
Like, he hasn't exactly shot straight.
No, and yeah, I think a lot of it was reaction to the media, like, questioning his decisions, and it was like, you know, his answer was, well, it's the reason why he's not here, because, you know, apparently everyone wants him here, but, you know, I haven't made that decision, so screw you guys.
Yep.
I don't know. But anyway, Rob Refsnyder had a very good year, and he's very exciting, and I would have liked to see him. It would have been fun to watch him, but, you know, maybe next year. You know, I think he'll get a more than fair shake in spring training. I think that at the least, they'll decide between, you know, what do they want to do with second base. They have Martin Prado to give them options.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if they're just going to shove him in right field again or what, but I think they will give Refsnyder a fair look. I'm not saying that he will make the team out of spring training, because they could just decide that Martin Prado is a second baseman. And you kind of have the option to move Martin Prado around if, you know, you need to adjust something, which I think is very valuable for him, with him. But, you know,
I think Rift Center has a very good chance next year. I think they are impressed with him. I think they just understated, you know, kind of what he did this year and like the whole defense thing.
Yeah.
Because if we've all been watching the same team, I don't think, you know, his defense is really going to kill this team. The defense was not very good the first half of the season.
No. I like Taylor Dugas.
Taylor Dugas?
Is it not Dugas?
I think it's Dugas, but maybe not. It might actually be pronounced Dugas, which is stupid.
That's the thing about these minor leaguers, man.
They need to pronounce the name.
Pronunciation guide. Get this one.
But yeah.
Dugas.
He was one of those guys that, like, he tore up Trenton, came up to AAA, hit pretty well. He's probably, like, one of those guys, kind of like Ramon Flores, who probably won't be more than, like, a fourth outfielder at best, but...
Yeah, the Yankees have several of those.
Mm-hmm. Tweeners!
Ben Gamel.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been alright. I mean, he's not, like, anything exciting or, you know, amazing, but he's been, like, he was solid this year. You know, I think they have they have a lot of Ramon Flores type players that are going to end up being, you know, maybe fourth outfielders.
It's too bad Ramon Flores couldn't stay healthy.
Oh, that was sad. He was having a good season, and then he did whatever he did to his ankle, and
then he died.
That was that. The end.
I was a little disappointed that John Ryan Murphy did not hit that well in Scranton.
Oh, man.
John
Ryan Murphy has not really hit, like, in a year.
Well, he hit in April when he was up with the Yankees. But then,
yeah, he, like...
Then he started slumping in the majors, and that just kind of carried over.
Yeah, he was just not very good. Like, he had a good season last year. He didn't hit at all in the majors, and then he didn't really hit when he was in the majors again. Just like, where are you going with this, bro?
And they really need to, like, trim some of the fat in the catcher department on the 40 this offseason, because they can't have another season where they carry five catchers.
I am surprised they actually got through most of the season with five catchers already. Like, how did they do this?
Writing on the wall, Robine.
Like, DFA someone, trade somebody. Like, my goodness.
I think the writing's on the wall for Robine.
Yeah, I mean, the thing was that, like, I figured, you know, John Ryan Murphy is definitely the most tradable. But, you know, he didn't really have that great of a season this year. And, you know, the Chicago White Sox, who literally do not have a catcher, decided not to trade for him because they didn't like him or something. I don't know. So I don't know where his trade value really is. But yeah, it seems like signs are pointing towards Romine getting the boot. Getting the Zoilo Almonte treatment. And I can't say that I would be sad.
Good talk.
Dead.
DFA. Bye. Hey, good luck. I don't understand people's obsession with you.
He just wasn't given enough time.
Because he's young, and he's young.
He's not even young, he's 25.
Well, that's young for the Yankees.
I will miss Corbin Joseph.
Yeah, so sad. We'll always have that doubleheader. Kyle Roller. Thanks. I mean...
Roller and Perella for me are kind of in like the same package of like unimpressive AAA players. I mean, they have nice stats there, but no one actually thinks that they would, like, translate, so.
Space DH. But, I mean, I think the ship has sailed on both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think Perella is going to leave the organization after this year, and Kyle Roller is just going to hang around until it's time for him to leave.
Which might very well be this year, too. Because I think he has to be protected. If they want to keep him.
Oh, yeah, I think... Oh, because he was eligible last year.
Yeah, so he's gone.
Yeah, but I don't think anybody's going to take him. Howler?
Maybe not, yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Well, they could just release him, too. I don't know. Like, Dan Johnson left, but different Older player, but still. Same idea.
Well, I mean, they need somebody to play first base in AAA, so...
Greg Bird.
As well, just keep him there. Move Greg Bird up. Greg Bird.
I support that.
The thing with Perella is that, like, his WRC Plus is practically the same as Anton Richardson, who everyone, like, slammed as a September call-up. Understandably. But... So that this is why I don't really care about Jose Perella.
That's funny. Well, I mean, Perella was hitting really well, and like it made sense to call him up. He was,
oh, at the time, yeah. But
yeah, at the time, but then he like
Brian Roberts.
Then he tanked. Like, mm-hmm. I think like July, August, he was pretty bad or something.
He's like, well, I had a good first half. International League All Star. Time to take a vacay.
I did my work. Yeah,
I became trending on a blog. That's all I really need.
Perella superstar.
Pitching? Any pitching?
In AAA? Well, there was the bullpen.
Pat Venditti. There's Pat Venditti.
Pat Venditti. There's Nick Rumbelow. Tyler Webb.
Tyler Webb. He had a good year. I think he was. Good. He probably could have been called up.
He probably should have been. Of all the people that they probably should have called up, he was probably the guy they should have called up. Like, I mean, you know, he was having a good year. He already had half a season in the minors. It just seemed like it was a good idea to bring him up, get him some time. He's a lefty. Like, I mean, why do we need Chaz Rowe?
Well, I have no comments for this.
Like. What did Chaz Rowe do the other night against the Red Sox? Like, he just blew the hell up. Like, who didn't expect that to happen? Like, was Cashman really sitting there being like, ah, damn.
Rich Hill.
Curses.
Yeah, there's so many useless lefties on their team right now with Rich Hill, Josh Outman,
I mean, Chaz Rowe. I mean, it's getting comical, the amount of, like, garbage lefties they've been putting together. Just to make sure that they don't use Tyler Webb or Jacob Lindgren.
Chaz Rowe isn't even a lefty. He's a righty. He's useless.
Wait, are you serious? Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, my God. I don't know why I'm thinking he's lefty.
Because he just fits into that same mold of, like, random bullpen bop with a pulse.
Yeah, I definitely looked at a picture of him recently and, like, made note of which hand was holding the glove. Like, are you a lefty or righty? Like, what are you? What is this human?
And we're talking about the major league team too much. This is bad.
We swore off of them.
Well, I mean,
we had a pact.
I mean, this is AAA. What are we going to talk about in AAA?
Robert Cuomo was okay before he got released.
Chris LaRue.
Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness. Jim Miller!
All these guys that rode the Scranton Bronx Express.
Jim Miller represent.
So bad.
Maybe it'll get better next year if they promote a lot of those guys from Trenton.
Guys. Heath Bell happened.
Oh, God. Oh,
God. Heath Bell did happen.
Also, can we just discuss Jose Ramirez?
Oh.
Bro, you were demoted to the bullpen in a slight effort to try to keep you healthy, and even that couldn't happen.
And you still got hurt.
And then you and you also blew the hell up when you went to the majors. Like, what was that? He was terrible.
It was really bad.
Super bad. Brian Mitchell, though, positives.
Brian Mitchell was good. Yeah, he had such a weird season because he, like, was doing his typical Brian Mitchell thing in Trenton of, like, you know, nice strikeout numbers but nothing else. Then he went to Scranton and he's like, never mind. I have control now a little bit.
Yeah. Like, last season, I, like, wanted nothing to do with Brian Mitchell. Like, I thought he was terrible. He shouldn't be on a prospect list. Like, get him out of here. He sucks. But, you know, he's turned it around a little bit. And now he's made it to the majors, so I want to see what he can do. Mm-hmm. Even though we'll probably never see him in September. Because, you know, we're in playoff mode.
Did we mention that Pat Venditti probably has no business on a major league roster?
But
But the switch pitcher.
I mean, I would like to see him on a major league roster, but he's probably not going to be good.
No. Like, people are just like, oh, the numbers are good, but, like, that's not... There are a lot of minor leaguers with good pitching numbers out of the bullpen.
That's true. That's true. And
he's, like, almost 30.
So, I will say that probably another organization would have given him a chance by now.
Probably.
I don't think the Yankees are going to be that team, but I think someone else would have done it, you know? Even if it's just, you know, the results, you might as well see what he can do.
Yeah.
Because, you know, scouts don't really think much of him. But, yeah, people act like it's, like, this big social injustice that he's been, you know, held down. You know how many, like, Pat Vendetti should be in the major league articles I've read this year? Like,
too
it's
many.
Ridiculous. Yeah. There's, like, one every, like, 2 weeks.
It's just fascinating. Well, anyway, let's go to the tweet bag, if you're ready.
Yes, let's.
Oh, I'm ready.
Should I actually read Greg's question?
No.
Okay. I was not going to try the Thunderdog, Greg. Deal with it.
Taylor Ham does not sound like anything that's different than regular ham. There, I said it.
Taylor Ham? What is that?
I don't know. Something that they're all obsessed with in New Jersey. There's,
oh.
It's ham. Ham is not that good.
Ham's all right.
Ham is...
Okay, it's okay. But it's something to get, like, obsessed about.
Oh, I ham never...
League average. League average.
Stop being obsessed with your ham.
I'm not obsessed with ham. Ham. It's okay, but...
ham is league average meat.
Replacement level.
Yeah, it's replacement level meat.
No Bobbles asks, Ref Snyder, Lindgren, and Perella, who will be on the roster for opening day next year?
None of them.
Ref Snyder and Lindgren.
Whoa. That's bold.
Both of them?
Yes.
I like your optimism.
Bold.
Shit. I'll say none of them.
I will say Ref Snyder. Just, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he's probably most likely to make it, unless he has a terrible spring training or something.
I think they'll give Lindgren a little bit more time in the minors. Not much, but a little bit more. I don't know.
April call-up.
Yeah, they'll call him up once they realize, oh god, we have the equivalent of Josh Chapman.
Not Preston Claiborne again. No.
God.
Can we not with that guy?
Who should be most concerned with about losing to Rule 5?
None of them.
Yeah, none of them are really irreplaceable. I guess we already talked about Mark Montgomery, maybe.
I would be sad.
I would be sad about Mark Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
Who else is Rule 5? Oh, yeah, Tyler Austin. Tyler Austin, I'd want
yeah.
to save.
Yeah.
That's really it. And everybody else, including Mason Williams.
I mean, if somebody wants to make Mason Williams their problem, then...
Yeah, go right ahead. Please. Yeah, Tyler Austin.
And, like, Slay Heathcott...
Well, he's not even, like, Rule 5 eligible because he's already on the...
I know, but he's on the 40, and I need him to yeah. not be on the 40.
Get off the 40. I'm going to need you to leave. I'd probably save, I don't really know. Between Newding and Matt Daly, I don't know if there's a clear winner there.
Really?
Matt Daly.
Yeah, Matt Tracy.
Matt Tracy.
I would
I'm
say
sorry.
Newding for no other reason than...
You would say Newding? Yeah, I would
say Newding as well.
That was my first reflex decision, but I didn't know if I was basing that off of anything tangible.
I don't know that I am either, but pick which of those pitchers that they're all the same, and pick one of them, put him on the 40. They're let his twin go. I don't really care.
Let his twin go.
Okay. Next... who wins in a fight? 6 penguins with above average motor skills armed with pointy sticks or 1 unarmed seal? The animal or the R&B singer? You decide.
Penguins. Always the penguins.
The penguins always win.
Probably.
Penguins forever.
Yeah, I mean, what is seal going to do? He'll sing to them, and they will sink him. Okay. From Sean McNeil. Who are your biggest surprises of the minor league season? Who are your biggest non-Mason Williams disappointments?
Surprises. Mark Payton.
Yeah, I was going to say Mark Payton.
Mark Payton.
Zach Neuding.
Oh.
Not Nunez.
Oh, not Nunez. Yeah, that's a big surprise. Oh, Jaron Long, obviously.
Jaron Long.
Yeah, I think he wins.
Disappointments.
Kato.
Slade Heathcott.
I'm still going to say Mason Williams.
Mark Montgomery.
Mark Montgomery.
Avellino. This is great. John Ryan Murphy.
Yep.
Yeah, he was pretty disappointing. Almost the entire Scranton roster.
Yeah. About that.
Chris Young.
What a debut.
Dean Anna.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he wasn't that good of a pitcher. Man. Oh, wait, what? Cesar Cabral.
Cesar Cabral. I kind of want to relive that moment again.
Except not.
I was at my grandma's apartment watching that game, and she's like, oh, I don't think they're normally supposed to do that, are they? I'm like, no.
Analysis, grandma.
We should get your grandma on the podcast.
She doesn't even have internet. It's great.
Yay.
Who else is out there being terrible somewhere? Preston Claiborne. Claiborne. You are a disappointment.
Were you expecting anything from him?
No, but I was expecting him not to be awful.
Touche.
I mean, he was literally like hot trash.
He is pretty hot trash.
This isn't really like a big guy, but Francisco Rendon. He was supposed to be a good lefty, and then he's just like, nope, not good.
I think it was a disappointment last season.
That's true.
But this year, it was just kind of like, yeah, whatever.
We're over.
Yeah, last season was the year that he like got released or DFA'd or something, and then they signed him again, and he was really good after that. But yeah.
Oh, I got one. Graham Stoneburner.
Oh, he's gone. He's dead.
Yep. Nick Goody in Double A, which is not very good.
Well, Goody was.
This is his first year back from Tommy John.
Yeah, time. Remember when he got Tommy John? He's like pitched in a day, and then he's like. Next day, oh, I'm just getting Tommy John. Or he had Tommy John.
Bye.
Oh, what's his name? What's that guy's name? Oh my god, what is his name? No. He was a guy that was like kind of a fringy prospect last year that, you know, it was a reliever that they started turning into a starter. Shit, I gotta look it up.
Ends,
yes.
Dietrich Ends.
Killed it.
Dietrich Ends. And then it was like all of a sudden, yep, needs Tommy John surgery. Okay, bye. Like, oh, okay. See ya.
Okay, I think that's enough disappointments.
Is it, though? Is it?
Yeah, I've decided. how pleased with you with the progress of last year's first rounders? We were very pleased.
I am pleased.
I mean, yeah, they pitched well.
I mean...
Even Aaron Judge pitched well.
I mean, how could you not be pleased with what Aaron Judge has produced?
And
do you want to tell him that you weren't pleased?
No. Never. I'm always pleased with Aaron Judge.
Yep. Okay.
But yeah, like, I mean... It's pretty non-brainer that they were all impressive.
Yep. Next one, it's asking about Luis Severino when we think he might make his major league debut.
No time soon. Let's worry about him. I don't know, not breaking something.
Yeah. I think in the absolute best case scenario, he's a September call-up next year, but that's assuming everything goes right next year. So
that's assuming that every starting pitcher doesn't die and that Luis Severino becomes like actual God and just destroys everything.
Which he can. I would permit it.
And then they would have to call him up because he's God. You can't keep God in the minors.
Muggle Brown says, "Hi guys, my question is fire Rob Thompson. Thanks."
Yes.
Let's fire Rob Thompson. Like, he needs to be fired yesterday.
He's not good at his job.
Not at all.
Okay. We have one more. It was on Twitter. Who do you think is going to make the biggest jump like Severino did this year, next year? I'm going to say Jigailo.
I'm going to say Aaron Judge.
Hmm.
He didn't make big jumps already.
But I mean,
he's going to be triple A.
Yes. All the rising.
What's all the rise. Aaron Judge rises. I'm going to say Clarkin. He's going to blow through the minors.
I would support that.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Got to be a hitter other than Judge.
Oh, Jigailo, maybe.
I don't know. I feel like he'd move slower basing that off of 1 year. I can't remember. Mark Payton could keep going through. I mean, he already did have a insane year, but like he could do it again.
Could
I
be.
Mean, if he's bored.
Could be Luis Torrens, maybe.
Eh.
I mean,
guys, I gotta go.
Okay.
All right.
Do we want to do like Yankee and Mitra hit the system? Or...
No, I think we're good. Okay. Or do we actually want to do that?
I don't know. What do you want to do, Tanya?
Well, I'm going to give you mine, then I'm going to go.
Okay.
My Mitra of the system is Cito Culver, and my Yankee of the system is Rob Rexner. Okay.
Okay. Jason, pick your Yankee Mitra of the system.
My Yankee of the system, it's going to be a tie between Aaron Judge and Rep Snyder. And my Mitra of the system is going to be Mason Williams forever.
He is your new Eduardo Nunez.
Pretty much.
My Yankee of the system is Luis Severino. My Mitra of the system is Slade Heathcott because he is still broken.
Yay.
Forever. All right.
All right.
Good talk. Good fun. Good season.
Woo! Good time. Miners. Yay. Miners, go forever.
Andrew and I will recap the system in, like, soon. Do you want to do it, too?
Oh. Maybe.
And maybe Jason.
Wait. In a podcast?
No, in a post.
Uh-huh.
There may be two of us, there may be three of us. Oh, I don't know.
Who knows?
Surprise!
Surprise. Yeah, I'm going to do some other stuff, too.
So there will be more.
But thanks for listening. Though. Yes, but thank you for listening to us babble about prospects, because they're very exciting, and this current Yankees team is not. So.
Yay. Who are these people? I don't know.
Need more Greg Bird.
Yes.
That'll do it for us on the Pinstripe Alley podcast, Baby Bomber edition. You can follow me on Twitter at MearnsPSA. You can follow Tanya on Twitter at TanyaBondurant. You can follow Jason on Twitter at Jason00Cohen. Follow our GIFs account at PSA_GIFs. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/PinstripeAlley. Rate and review us on iTunes. Always enjoy your feedback. And please send in any tweetbag questions you have, well, whether it be on Twitter or in the fan shot that I put up every week. We'll be back with a regular podcast next week. Hopefully the Yankees will be back into playoff contention. Our hopes are not high, but that's okay. All right.
Okay, bye.
Peace.